Welcome to the Cat Clayton Mysteries. Do you enjoy mystery novels? Are you in the mood for some small town shenanigans? Or maybe you're on a road trip and looking for something to listen to. Either way, I am glad that you've tuned in. Think Murder, She Wrote, mixed with Legally Blonde in small town Texas. So, sharpen those sleuthing skills and let's solve some mysteries. Try to say that 5 times real fast. Oh, and a disclaimer. Like the dog in the books, my Chihuahua, Cuff, likes to be heard. And since he sits in my lap while I record, you may hear occasional puppy whining, a yip, or other doggy noises. Now, get cozy, and let me tell you a few stories. Last week, we left off with Chapter 11, with Daniel and Steely at Orsak's Cafe having pie, when the ominous black car drives by. Steely admits to Daniel that the night that Mrs. Shermack was murdered, she followed the black car all the way to Nick's house, and the driver left an ominous, threatening note in the mailbox. Daniel insists that it's time for her to confess everything to the authorities. Let's see what happens next. How to Leash a Thief, a Steely and Cuff Mystery, Book 1, Chapter 12. 10 minutes later, we sat in Nick's office. Apparently, his days off hadn't started yet, because he sat, grilling me about following the black car, the threatening note inside the mailbox, and why I chose not to tell him about it. Steely, your actions are incredibly stupid. Do you want to end up in the morgue? Nick asked, leaning against the corner of his desk. He picked up the torn piece of the McDonald's bag I'd retrieved from my car and reread the menacing message. Shaking his head, he let out a weighted exhale and tossed the note on his desk. Cuff perched on my lap, tilting his head side to side, listening to the conversation. Toying with Mama's locket, I sent up a quick request to her, please give me the strength and the patience to handle this with calm tactfulness. I glanced over at Daniel and scowled. What? Don't look at me like that, Daniel said. You could be in real danger. Nick cleared his throat. I'm going to ask you again, and don't give me some cockamamie bullshit answer. He furrowed his eyebrows. His sharp blue eyes studied me. Daniel snickered, probably at the word cockamamie. Ignoring his question, I folded my arms. I hated when he talked down to me. Steely, this is no time to act like a child. I jumped when someone knocked on the door. Come in, Nick said. A busty blonde in uniform breezed in, cradling a stack of files in her arm. She smiled at Nick, setting the folders on the desk in a neat stack. Here are those files you asked for, Lieutenant, she said in a honey-laced voice. A heavy waft of her floral perfume hit me, causing my nose to tickle. For good reason, I'm not a fan of floral scents. Leaning forward, I snatched a tissue from the box on Nick's desk and fanned my face to no avail. I sneezed anyway, 3 times. I blew my nose and tucked the tissue in my hand. With her plastered grin, the blonde cut her eyes at me. Bless you. Then, like an actress from one of those dumb shampoo commercials, she tossed her golden beach waves and sent them cascading over her shoulders. She sashayed her slender yet curvy self toward the door, stopping to pose for an imaginary camera. Daniel elbowed me. Huh? What? I asked him. You're being rude. Say thank you. He nodded toward the blonde. Oh, right. Thanks. But I'm allergic to flowery perfumes. Her smile wilted. Nick catapulted off the edge of his desk and opened the door for her. Thank you, officer. Anytime, Lieutenant, she said, holding his gaze for far too long. Her smile returned as she disappeared down the hallway. Nick closed the door and marched back to his desk. Cuff whined in my lap.
Your eyes look all wild and crazy, Chiquita.
I pat the top of his head. Well, honestly, I feel a bit wild and crazy, I thought. Now, Where were we? Nick asked. Who is that? I forced a smile. Daniel nudged my foot with his.
Let it go, he whispered.
No, I nudged his foot right back. Nick grunted. If you must know, she's a new hire. Now, stop trying to change the subject. Why didn't you tell me about the death threat last night when you got to the house? Are you kidding me right now? You didn't give me the opportunity. You were too busy kicking me out rather than listening. My voice quivered, and I could feel myself losing control. I would appreciate it if you would stop treating me like a child. Nick folded his arms across his chest. You deliberately disregarded my request to stay away from the burn site the day of the bank robbery. Then you followed the guy's car, watched him put a threatening note in our mailbox, and kept it from me. You are responsible for the target now on your back. You only have yourself to blame. He skirted around his desk and collapsed in his leather chair. If you don't want to be treated like a child, I suggest you stop acting like one. His fuming, cruel tone scalded me. This is serious, Steely. Stay out of it, or I'll toss you in jail to keep you out of trouble. He picked up a pencil and began thumping it on the palm of his hand. The tips of my ears burned. You wouldn't dare, I said, my breath hitching in my chest. Daniel snorted, and I shot him a look. Don't tempt me, Nick said. I gathered Cuff and shot up out of the chair.
Chiquita, we can't find Virgil with you in the slammer.
Cuff shivered in my arms. Well, my dog had a point. The pencil in Nick's hand snapped in two, and he tossed the halves into the wastebasket. Stormy blue eyes narrowed in on me. Well, what is it going to be? He asked.
Fine, I said, trying to keep my lower lip from quivering.
Fine what? Nick leaned back, the chair squeaking under his weight. I'll back off. Fat chance, Daniel mumbled. Nick turned on him, seething. You're not innocent in all this, so I'd advise you to keep quiet. But no buts. I would think the two of you have enough to keep y'all busy running that shop. Guess I will have to put a tail on y'all. Nick threatened us. Daniel pouted, slumping in his chair. His nostrils flared. I tucked Cuff under one arm and stabbed my hip with the opposite fist. You should have Mr. Shermack followed. Isn't the spouse usually the first suspect? Oh, and I'm pretty sure that Mr. Peters is being framed for both murders, especially Flora Shermack's. Mr. Peters was at the shop earlier looking for his lost hammer. You know, the hammer found near her body. Or what about questioning that new guy in town? His name is Seth Welton, if you didn't know. Maybe you could try finding that black car and putting a tail on it. Seems like you have a lot more to be concerned about than my sleuthing. My heart pounded against my ribcage. And even though nobody else cares in this department, I am committed to finding Virgil and now Ranger.
Yeah!
Shaking, Cuff growled. I jerked my bag off the floor, slung it over my shoulder, and carefully lowered him inside. Committed? Now I can arrange that, Nick said with a sneer.
Real professional, Nick,
I said, much louder than I had intended. Sorry, that was uncalled for, he said. But for your information, we've been in communication with Cleo Peters. Stay away from Flora's husband. He is a grieving widower in financial ruin right now. He doesn't need you snooping around him. Nick glanced out his office window onto the bay of cubicles. And keep your voice down. People are staring. Well, they're probably staring at the jerk who threw his girlfriend out on the street. I yanked open the door and barged out of Nick's office. I'd had enough of his bullying for one day. Let's go, Daniel, I said, snapping. Barreling forward with my head low, I ran smack into none other than Officer Jackson.
Sup, Buttercup,
he said in a husky voice. His amused eyes studied me. Bite me, I said. Shaking so hard my teeth chattered, I pumped my petite legs as fast as they would carry me. Cuff bumped against my hip inside my bag.
Wait! Hold on! Ouch! You're bouncing my brain loose, Chiquita!
I heard Daniel's voice as he scurried behind me. So, was that your way of sharing our list of suspects with Nick? I'm going to take a stab here and say your efforts were ineffective.
I didn't dare answer him until we were outside. As soon as my feet hit the sidewalk, I spun around on him. Are you happy now? Not really. And Nick may be good looking, but when he's a jerk, it's extremely unattractive. Now, take that new, dark, and dangerous Officer Jackson. He is hot and honorable. Oh, for crying out loud! Would you stop thinking with your... I couldn't even finish. Ugh! Just forget it! Daniel burst out laughing and slapped both knees with his palms. You're adorable. You can't even bring yourself to say the word. This is not funny. I walloped him a good one in the arm and stormed off down the sidewalk toward the bug with Daniel in tow and Cuff bouncing on my side. We stayed in our respective corners of the shop for the rest of the afternoon, both of us licking our wounds. Daniel in the lobby, answering the phone, and me at my desk. Nick had followed through with his threat. A police car arrived after we'd gotten back and parked across the street to monitor us and the shop. Around 4 o'clock, Daniel put a call through to my office phone. Maybe it's Nick wanting to apologize and ask me to come home. I picked it up on the second ring with my fingers crossed. Scrub-a-dub, three pups in a tub. This is Steely. Miss Lamar, this is Lois over at the retirement center. Ugh. I had forgotten to call them back. I'm afraid we have a big problem with your grandmother, Lois said. Well, what's she done now? Please let her just have spilled a glass of milk or something. But something told me to brace myself. I said a little prayer to the big guy upstairs, or whoever was listening. Well, we got her to admit that she was cheating at bingo last week, Nurse Lois said, popping her gum in my ear. And yesterday, we caught her on the computer at the nurse's station. Your father didn't answer his phone, so we called you. Miss Lamar, we will not tolerate this behavior at Bluebonnet Hills. Well, maybe she needed to use the internet, I said, hoping Lois would calm down. She claims that she has hacked into our main system and gotten everyone's social security numbers, and I'm afraid that's not all. I heard a weighted sigh come across the line. We discovered her stealing from Jerry Doe's donation jar last night, and she refuses to give his money back. Jerry Joe visited the retirement center and other various locations around town and played his guitar and sang folk songs. For the retirement center music, he took donations only. Still putting his two children through graduate school, he made his money where he could these days. Did Gertie have any lines that she wouldn't cross? May I speak with my grandmother, please? I asked. She's right here, Lois said. I heard shuffling as she passed the phone to Gertie. How's my baby girl? Gertie's gravelly voice from years of smoking came over the line. I'm okay. How are you? I asked. Fine. They said you took money from Jerry Joe. Did you? Yes, but he owed me money. Good grief. Better me than Pop. Gertie, you can't go around stealing money from people. How much did you take from the jar? $60. I envisioned her sitting there, twisting in the nurse's chair with a smug look, her dangling feet barely touching the ground, arms crossed over her busty bosom and her bejeweled reading glasses sitting on the bridge of her nose. Where's the money? Tucked somewhere safe, and I ain't giving it back. He owed me from a poker game back in 1996. Gertie, give it back. Over my dead body. And stop calling me Gertie. Oh, jeez. I'd had enough of dead bodies lately. Time to bring out the big guns. Okay, if you give it back, I'll bring you Blue Bell buttered pecan ice cream. I crossed my fingers. There's not much on this planet Gertie loved more than ice cream now that Grandpa was gone. I imagined her drumming her fingers on the desk, contemplating my offer. How much we talking? A pint. Half gallon, she wagered. Deal. And nobody in the center eats it but me, she said, upping the ante. Okay, good. Now hand over the money, and I'll bring you the ice cream, I told her. I heard more shuffling, as Gertie must have been removing the cash from inside her bra. I knew where she stashed her cash. I'd been on one too many gambling jaunts with her as a kid. Here, and tell that crook the only reason he's off the hook is because I get Bluebell. Otherwise, he'd be out the money, I heard her tell the nurse. See you soon, baby girl. Click. Lord help me. Cuff, who'd slept through the entire phone call, lay nestled in a basket of freshly washed towels on the floor near my desk. On the top of the invoice stack in front of me, Seth Welton's name caught my eye. In all honesty, I didn't think he was really guilty. He did yoga for the love of Pete. Yoga people don't commit murder. Besides, he doesn't even have a motive. I pulled up a Google search page anyway and typed in the name Seth Welton. There were a few Facebook pages I snooped around, but came up empty-handed. After 30 minutes of web browsing and searching, I gave up. At 5, Daniel popped his head in the doorway of my office. He came bearing gifts. Chocolate malt from the Burger Palace? He asked, handing me a large cup. You still sulking? I hadn't even heard him leave the shop. I am not sulking. I'm frustrated. There's a difference. I shut down the desktop computer and packed my things to leave. Did you know that before I met Nick, I was a virgin? His sapphire eyes widened. Well, I'd suspected, but I didn't know for sure since I was away for a couple years. If it helps, I am real sorry he hurt you. I had been saving myself for the right one, you know? Mama always said that I should wait for someone that I really loved, and I thought it was Nick. I took a long sip of my chocolate malt. Heavenly goodness in a cup. Thanks for this, by the way. I waved the cup at him. He knew the way to my heart. I took another sip. I can bring over Mama Mia and we can dance our butts off in your pop's living room. It'll make you feel better, Daniel said, waggling his eyebrows. I smiled at the thought. Rain check? It sounded nice, but I needed to do some real soul searching today. Sure, Daniel said. Some other time. Cuff crawled out of his makeshift bed and arose with a arching his back like a cat.
I am not a cat.
Sensing his own safety since I hadn't bitten his head off yet, Daniel plopped down on the office chair while I tidied up my desk from the opposite side. Sorry for earlier about going to Nick, he said and fiddled with the papers, shuffling them into a neat stack. You must have felt betrayed, and I didn't mean to make you feel that way. I'm just worried about you. I shrugged. To be honest, I'm kinda glad that the truth is out. Daniel puttered with miscellaneous objects on my desk. He stirred the pens and highlighters in the pen jar, picked up a large quartz rocks I used as a paperweight, and then set it back down, 3 times. Daniel? I raised an eyebrow. Do you have something else on your mind? He avoided my eyes. Can I ask you a personal question? What is it? I flipped off the floor lamp beside my desk. I hope this didn't take long. I really wanted to go home to Pop's and get into some comfy clothes and veg in front of the TV. And I still had to go deal with Gertie. What's the deal with you and Officer Jackson? Daniel asked as he sauntered over to the sofa and plopped down. He pulled a straw out of the plastic lid halfway. It made an obnoxious squeak.
Yeah, I've been wondering the same thing, Chiquita.
Cuff peered up at me. I shot my pup a frosty glare. I really didn't want to be having this discussion right here and now. There's no deal, I said.
Your nose just grew 1/2 inch, Chiquita.
Cuff trotted over and hopped up onto the couch next to Daniel.
I'm with him.
Well, there's some serious sexual tension between you two, Daniel said. He winced, waiting for the blow. When it didn't come, he continued. And if you want my opinion, he's a much better fit for you than Nick. Sorry, not sorry.
Hallelujah!
Cuff lifted his paw at Daniel for a high five, but Daniel didn't notice. Daniel, I have no idea what you're talking about. But I really did. I felt it too. Whenever Officer Jackson was near, a stirring began in my toes and it jolted through my entire body. Electric and undeniable, an attraction was definitely there. Yet he also set my temper on fire. Daniel continued, I couldn't help but notice he gets to you. But there's a spark in your eyes when you're around him, Steely.
I see it too, Chiquita.
Well, they knew me all too well. Gets to me would be the understatement of the year. And for the record, I find him infuriating. I looked Daniel straight in the eyes. And the son of a gun should have kept his mouth shut at work. Said he wasn't trying to get Nick in trouble. Really? What did he think would happen? That the chief would turn the other cheek? And I froze mid-sentence and slammed my malt down on the desk. And what? Daniel asked. And he flirts with me, I said.
Squeaky voice,
Cuff reminded me. Oh, the shame, Daniel said, teasing me. I wadded up a piece of paper from my desk and chucked it at him, hitting him straight in the head. The wad of paper bounced onto the floor. Is that a touchy subject? Daniel chuckled. So, let me get this straight. Are you upset that Officer Jackson got Nick in trouble, or that he's flirting with you? Or better yet, are you irritated because you have feelings for him? I snapped my head in his direction, glaring. I do not have feelings for him. I spoke in a clear, even tone, trying my hardest to convince Daniel and myself. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Are you curious about what happens next? Be sure to hit subscribe and tune in next Tuesday to find out. If you're enjoying the Cat Clayton Mysteries podcast, I would appreciate if you would rate and review so that other listeners can discover the podcast as well. Thank you for listening. Until next week, stay happy and sleuth on, my friends.